Bless you all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and a wonderful sharing from everyone again. Pedro, you said about a change of heart, and I think you must have had an insight on my teaching tonight. I was at work, and on Friday, obviously I don't work a Friday, but on Friday a new computer system came into the chemist, into the pharmacy. And the girls had a little bit of training on it, and I arrived into work on Monday, and they're in uproar. There's a couple of girls crying, they're very stressful, they don't like the new computer system. It went down 3 times while I was there, and usually I go in and I speak with the girls and I grab my deliveries, and I'm usually in there for about 45 minutes to an hour and then I'm gone. And I got in work at 9:15 and I was still in the chemist at 11:15. Things just weren't working. And you know, it really made me think, because it just went from bad to worse. Tuesday was worse, Wednesday was even worse, and a lot of these people that I work with, even though they're great people, they're not spiritual people. They're not godly people. And very negative. You know, they don't like change. They were set in their ways. They liked the old computer system, and it seemed like it was forced upon them to take on this system. But it wasn't, because the whole company was changing the computer system for the better. But at this moment, when they're getting used to the system, they're not actually seeing that it's going to be more easier for them in the long run. So today I went in, and I went in with a very positive attitude, because the last couple of days I've come home and I felt physically drained. And Lawrence would say to me, you know, you don't have to be physically drained, love. You have the Spirit of God. You can change your mindset. And then you'll also have then an impact on those around you. So today I went in and I decided that I was going to change the atmosphere, the situation, from stress to stress-free. So I started to share bits and pieces about being positive, and that, you know, once you get used to the system, this is going to save us time. It's going to be a fantastic system. And a couple of the girls said to me, how can you be so positive? Well, obviously, a few of them know that what Lawrence does, and that we're believers. So even though sometimes change is difficult, it's whether we're changing a habit or an attitude, a job, or moving. In my circumstances, it was change in our lifestyles sometimes can be difficult. Change is always a challenge, and change is even more difficult when it's imposed on us suddenly or without our approval. But see, when we're Christians, it's not without our approval. Change may suddenly come upon us because we want to change from the physical, from the five senses, to the spiritual. And sometimes that does have a slight difficultiness to it if we are set in our old habit patterns, or whether our attitudes are one way and we want to change it another way. But some of the examples, like I gave you my example of work and the computer system changing, but we have to look at our change and the way that our heart changes when we walk by that Spirit, that we're no more in the old man nature, that we are in the new man nature. We are a new creation in Christ. And so sometimes we have to change habit patterns within our lifestyle, or maybe we need to change our job, or just so that it can fit in with the spiritual walk. Or maybe we have to change our hobbies or our habits or our attitude. Sometimes our health becomes a challenge. Divorce can become a challenge. It can become a very stressful environment. But there will always be an element of stress or pain, even if the change is for the good, like this computer system is supposed to turn out for the good. Well, when God changes us, when we're walking by that Spirit and we're changing, like I shared last week about the caterpillar, the metamorphosis, it changes, caterpillar changes into a butterfly. It takes time. Now, that caterpillar may go through stress, being cocooned for a while. But then when he actually comes out of that cocoon and he comes into a beautiful butterfly, it is for the good. Now, we all know that not all change is good. Depending on where you are in your walk, sometimes change isn't good. Some people change their job because their job they're in, is they don't like it. Then they change their job and find out the job they've got isn't any better. But see, when we go to God and we let God direct us, then he will always bring us into the light and it will always be a blessing. It won't be stressful, it won't be painful, it won't have animosity within it, it won't have bad attitudes, it will always be a change for the better. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to have a look how God worked with his people and change them for the better. So Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Now this must have been pretty stressful, right? He had a fear of living in a different culture. He had the pain of leaving his family behind, and he had the risk of leaving the security of his home for the unknown place where God was sending him. So it might have looked bad in that first verse, but then we read on in verse 2 and it says, "And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Blessings came when he made a change. So he literally got out of the country, he left behind his family from his father's house, and he went into a land that he knew nothing about. And the blessing was his name and his family would be great. God gave Abraham many descendants. And the world would be blessed through him, through Abraham. But I guess Abraham must have considered the change, because Abraham had great faith in God, and God called him the father of faith. And let's have a look at that in Galatians chapter 3. Everything I'm sharing with you, I can back up with scripture too, because that's pretty important, especially when we're sharing the word, we want to know that it's right. So Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 7 it says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." See, Abraham had great faith. God told him what to do. This is the change you have to make. And he followed it to the T, and Abraham got blessed. Mary, here's another great example. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 26. "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" In other words, she hadn't actually slept with Joseph, and she wasn't married either, so, you know, she must be getting a little bit concerned about her reputation here. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6 months with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The change that God put before Mary was the possible loss of her reputation, the loss of her husband, the pain of childbirth. So Mary, you know, she could have lost her reputation giving birth to a baby outside of marriage, plus the loss of her husband because he knew that he hadn't slept with her, plus the pain of the childbirth. But God blessed her. He blessed her for the change that was going on in her body. She had favor with God and a special favor never given to another. For she was the mother to the Messiah. She gave birth to the Son of God. So that change was for the better. You know, even though she couldn't conceive at the time how this was going to happen. But God reassured her, God showed her, and she went forward with that change, and she gave birth to the Son of God. She gave birth to Jesus Christ. In Matthew, there's another incident. In Matthew chapter 19, so we go to the first book of the Gospels, Matthew 19. And this is one that didn't turn out so well, because sometimes people don't want to change. People don't want to follow God. So we'll take a look at this one, chapter 19. And in verse 16, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now we all know this is the rich man that's asking this question. And he said unto him, Jesus Christ said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life and keep the commandment, he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. And I think I'm in the wrong... No, we're in the right place. Let's just keep reading. Honour thy... In verse 19 says, Honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The rich man had a challenge, and the challenge was to give up all that he had, to give up his great possessions and to follow Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, he didn't want to change, and his values and his possessions were more valuable to him than him following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ challenges him to change his core values for the better. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you got, you can't buy yourself into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ challenged him from the comfort and the assurance of his wealth to trusting that God would provide. So this guy has a choice. He can do exactly what Jesus Christ says. Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful because he wasn't prepared to give up all what he had. For he had great possessions. So he valued those possessions more than actually giving them up and following Jesus Christ. But you know, if he'd have actually had done that, and that he put away his pride and the pain of giving up his possessions, he must have felt that he didn't want to rely on someone else for his needs instead of himself. He wasn't prepared to trust God, so it caused a spiritual discomfort for him. He wanted to hold on to those possessions. But there would have been a great reward if he had done exactly what Jesus Christ said, because we've seen from the previous two accounts, the one with Abraham and the one with Mary, that when people made that change, when God inspired them and they made that change, then the blessings came pouring down. See, we can't do this of our own strength. When we need to change from that old man to that new man, we have to do it first by trusting in God. And that means that somewhere along the line, we have to have faith. Faith that God is going to come through when we make that change. So we can make all the excuses under the sun. Well, you know, it's not time for me to do this, or I'm not sure if this is God really showing me. If you're praying about a situation and then you get a thought and God leads you, then you should follow. But see, he decided not to. His wealth was more important. But then the likes of James, John, Peter, Matthew, they all gave up their lives. They gave up family. They changed and they followed Jesus Christ. And they became apostles. So when we go with God, when we change for the better, when we change our hearts, and we change those thought patterns, then God always rewards us with the blessings. See, change is removing yourself as the focus of your decisions, and making God the one you live for.
Amen.
We move from the senses to the spiritual. I'm going to say it again. Change is removing yourself as the focus of your decision, and instead you're making God the one you live for. So we change from the senses to the spiritual. Matthew chapter 5, and it says here in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we leave the senses and we go to the spiritual side, then we are right. We're in the right standing with God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We all want to be right in the eyes of God. It's not about right in our own eyes or right in because people are looking at us and we want to be right. We want to be right with God. Mary was right with God. Abraham was right with God. And the blessings just kept coming for them. And it also says that we shall be filled. So we'll be filled in every area. So whether it's a job we're looking for, whether we're moving house, or we're looking for a new house. You know, we can pray, we can lift these things to God, we can speak in tongues. When we're in that right standing, we'll hear from God. It'll be crystal clear, and then we let God lead and guide us. You know, people usually don't mind if religion is just part of our lives, like a hobby. People love it. Chit chat, cup of tea. But they get upset when it becomes our lives, because they're not prepared for the challenge. When we are walking by that spirit, it is a spiritual battle. So, if we call ourselves Christians, it's like a hobby for us, then you're going to have plain sailing. You know, the adversary's not going to trouble you too much, because you've turned religion or Christianity into a hobby. Maybe you do get dressed up on a Sunday and put on your best hat and go to church, and then the rest of the week you don't even pick up your Bible, you don't pray to God, because it's a hobby for you. But those that seriously seek God from a whole heart will not have it as a hobby. It will be their life. It will be their lifestyle. It will be that God is more important to them than their possessions. It means that God is more important to them than their jobs, their homes, their marriage, their relationships, their families. But when we change from the old man to the new man, I can account that blessings rain down. You know, faith is the key to trusting God. Trusting God that he'll lead us and guide us for the better. So we don't want to make Christianity a hobby. We want to make it a lifestyle. And we want to give up things. We want to change. We want to have a change of heart and a change of circumstances that we better ourselves on a daily basis, whether it's in our health, again in our marriages, our jobs, our finances, our homes, whatever the situation, we can change for the better, not as a hobby but as a lifestyle. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. See, this isn't a hobby here. This is living full time unto God, fighting the good fight, keeping that faith, because the adversary wants to hit that faith on a daily basis. He wants to get you in the negative circumstances. He wants you to feel down. He wants you to spew the rubbish out of your mouth, be negative, and to, oh, well, this doesn't work, and, oh, I don't know about that. No, got to fight a good fight, guys. We got to keep our faith. We got to keep trusting God that change is for the good. Don't want any part of that old man nature. We want that spiritual man to reign in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. This will blow you away. We often read Acts 4, and it is a real blessing, because this is the part where so many thousand was added to the church, daily such as should be saved, and see things happening, and you think, well, when's it going to happen to me? But, here, let me read it. Acts 4 and verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believe, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Why does that happen? Like, in the churches today, the churches in England are dwindling. You know, we were chatting to a gentleman the other Sunday, and he was saying, you know, about 30, 40 people go to the church now, and they're trying their hardest. You know, they don't know whether they should spend money on TVs and, you know, trying to get the young ones in. And, well, the reason the churches are dwindling is because people aren't prepared to make a change. They go to church because it's a hobby. And only the minister's the one that's standing there proclaiming all the wonderful works of God. And the people just sit and listen. They don't see that they can actually have the same relationship with God that the minister has. I can vouch for you. Right now, you can have that same relationship as the minister of a Baptist church, Methodist church, whatever church. In fact, yeah, even better sometimes. But you know, it's not just the ministers that have changed and walked in faith. The reason why, here in verse 4, the number of the men was about 5,000 was because they all believed. They all had faith. They all changed from the old man to the new man, and they walked. So we also have to change, not just part faith, but full faith. We're not doing this for a hobby. We're doing this as a lifestyle. This is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And change will never be detrimental, because God would never allow it. Change is for the better when you're walking with God. So if God's directing you in a direction, do it. Follow it. Follow it to the T. I remember, Amber, we were in India. We were seeing wonderful signs, miracles and wonders. And at that time, Amber's job was taking up all of her time. And she went to bed that night, and she woke me up in the early hours of the morning, and she said, God's told me I've got to give up my job. And I said, really? She said, yeah, I have to change my job. God's telling me, just give up your job, and he'll take care of me. So anyway, I wasn't going to advise her to do it. So anyway, I said, well, we'll pray about it while we're in India. And we did. Most days we prayed about the situation. And when we got home, she came home. And that very night of her coming home, she made her resignation. She wrote it all out. She went into work the next morning, and she gave up her job. And the amount of negativity she got from her friends, oh, you shouldn't give up your job. You should never give up your job until you've got another one. And Amber never listened to one of them. And she just handed her notice in. She had to work a month. And she said, I know that God got the perfect job for me. Well, she ended up not working for about 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, this company contacted her and said that they had this job. They'd like her to go for an interview. And she's still in that job today. She really knew that it was God leading and guiding her to give up that job. Nobody told, I never told her to do it. I said, you just have to go with God on this. This is between you and God, Amber. And if you believe that in your heart, then you do it. She wrote her own resignation. She handed it in the very next day after we got back from India. Against all the negativity, all the people that was like slandering her, saying, oh, you're a fool. You shouldn't give up this job until you've got another one. But look where she is today. And she is phenomenal. She just really, really knows how to trust God when God leads and guides her. And that's where we have to get to that point, where we know that it's God helping us to change from that caterpillar to that butterfly, that he's leading us and he's guiding us and he's bringing us into that land of milk and honey. And I want to finish off now, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. And it says, but they that wait upon the Lord. See, sometimes when we're looking for change, we have to wait. And we tarry a little while, praying, speaking in tongues, waiting for God to really give us that inspiration, you know, that he talks. He contacts people in all different ways, right? Some people wake up with a dream. Some people get it from the Word. Some people get it from a still, small voice in their minds. Some people hear an audible voice out loud. But the way that God works within you, right, it's different. He works within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And you know what? Sometimes when we have change, we do need strength. We need to renew that strength because the world just wants to batter us down. God wants us to renew our strength. It says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. In other words, you're going to soar above any problem, any negativity. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is what it is, be renewed in that spirit. This is what it is to have that spiritual connection, that knowing that God's leading you and guiding you. He's changing your heart and he's changing your mind so that you can become that wonderful son and daughter of the most living God. So I challenge you this week to be prepared for great change, because God will rain you blessing upon blessing upon blessing.